Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
But this is session 29 entitled Miracles for Other Ministries. I wasn't trying to be real clever with these titles. I was just trying to come up with 30 different titles. I mean, it's kind of hard when you got to use the word miracle in all of them. So anyway, what I want to do in this session this morning is I want to kind of continue the message, really, that we started last week. And last week, what we started to look at was the concept that God will do miracles, not just for individuals, but he'll do it for corporate bodies. He'll do it for groups. He'll do it for families, for ministries, for churches. And last week, as we were diving into that dialogue, the focus was on what he's done for us here in our relationship here, you know, with the Lord at Forerunner Fellowship and even at the prayer room, because there's such a close connection there. And those were the stories that I was sharing. But I want for all of us, you know, I just, here's my objective, really, the bottom line objective in all of this series. The enemy is a liar, and the enemy says God doesn't do miracles. And the enemy says, oh, well, if he does miracles here, then he doesn't do them over here. And if the Lord moves miraculously in this way and you're convinced of that, okay, I'll lay down and let you have that one. But then I'm going to fight harder so that you don't believe that he does miracles in this way and in this way and in this way. And so what I want for us to be able to do in this series is abolish the lies in every area and get ourselves thinking and expecting God to do miracles. Just expecting that he's going to do them here in this area, in this area, in this area. And so last week we were talking about personal testimonies of this ministry and what he's done. But he doesn't do miracles just for Forerunner Fellowship. He does miracles for everybody that wants them. And so today I'm going to share some stories from friends of mine that are in ministry, other ministries, and other miracle stories that the Lord has done for other ministries and the way that the Lord wove miracles into their storyline. Just like last week, I was telling you our story, really. I was describing miracles that the Lord has done for us that have helped us to get to this point, even formed some of our thinking and theology. Well, in today's message, I want you to start to imagine yourself as part of one of these other congregations. And how incredible it was when God did the miracle there for them, because it was just as powerful. Some of you are going to start ministries. Some of you are going to be overseeing ministries. Many of you are going to have small groups if you don't already have small groups. There's no reason God can't do miracles for you in different places, in different spheres, in different realities, and do it corporately, not just even just for you. I love the just for me miracles, but we're not limited to that. And so today, as we talk about this, I want us understanding just in the most simple, you know, sometimes truths, it's the simplest truths that can make a big deal, make a big difference for us. The truths of this, and that is that the Lord doesn't just do miracles for us. He'll do miracles for whomsoever. I love the way that Luke said it in the time of offering today. The promises of the Bible, all of them, each promise is for whoever will take God up on that particular promise. So let's look today at this opening thought process. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:26, he said, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Talking about the body of Christ. But then he says, if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Another translation says, if one part rejoices, the others rejoice alongside or along with. Here's what I want us to think about this for a second. When the Lord exalts another ministry, when the Lord does a solid for that group of people, their honor in that moment is our joy. When God does something outstanding in part of the body of Christ, the body of Christ gets to rejoice. Now, that's only if we choose to, though. And part of this is actually a little bit of a side training that we would not be envious when the Lord is doing other things in other ministries. Instead, we would be elated that God is doing something awesome in his church, that God is doing something awesome in the body of Christ. And that we would truly rejoice, not kind of, you know, well, I wish it was us. Like, oh my gosh, can you imagine all the people that are so happy right now because God did that thing over there? Can you just imagine the work of the kingdom that's going forward over there? Can you imagine the hit that was to the kingdom of darkness? Can you just imagine the joy that was, the strength that was for the leaders there, that we would rejoice with those that are rejoicing? And so as I share some stories this morning, and you know, a bunch of them are not like didn't happen yesterday. Some of them have happened over the I just kind of selected a few. I want for you to just put yourself in the position of those that were in that ministry when that moment happened and feel the joy of it just like they actually felt the joy. Because you know they're your brothers and sisters in Christ and you're going to be with them forever. I mean, you're actually going to be able to have a really strong conversation with them about, hey, I remember the Sunday morning we celebrated about your miracle at church. It was awesome. Like, you'll actually be able to have that conversation with them in times to come. All right. Well, let's look at the word because I want to get us rooted and grounded in the word that God does miracles for groups of people. And this is, you know, kind of part two from last week. But I want this in us, okay? First, let's look at a miracle of more than enough. You guys probably even know the passage already, some of you. Exodus 36, 2 through 7, the more than enough miracle. I love this miracle because in this situation, listen, as a leader, I'll just tell you, this is a miracle, no matter what anybody says. When you can wind up getting a people, a group of people, to give more money than was needed, more, to the point where you have to tell them to quit it, stop giving money, it's a miracle. It's the Lord, I'm telling you, because this is not normal. This is totally not normal, but it is something that God does. Let's look at the verse. Exodus 36. Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and whom was willing to come and do the work for constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. So the skilled workers said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough. And then Moses sent this word throughout the camp to the 3 million people in Israel that are there in the desert with him. It says, hey, no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. Stop. You've been too generous. Quit it. It's phenomenal. If I'm him, we're stockpiling for tomorrow. You've brought more than enough for the sanctuary. No one is to bring anything else. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because they had already had more than enough to do all the work. Guys, that is a miracle. That is not just like, oh, you know, they were given and it was, these are broke people. They're nomads in the desert. Okay? This is not like a church full of millionaires and everybody just tithed and you got more than enough. That's not what we're talking about. These are broke, desert-wandering nomads, and they've brought too much money. They brought too much to the point where the leadership has to say, hey, this is getting out of control. We don't even know what we're going to do with all this extra money. We just don't know what to do. You guys got to quit it. You got to stop. Just quit. That's crazy. A miracle of generosity that the Lord stirred up in the people. It wasn't just the people being generous. That might get you halfway to what you need. It was more than enough. The Lord stirred up generosity. How about a miracle of visitation? 2 Chronicles 5, 13 through 14. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. And the singers raised their voices in praise of the Lord, and they sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I want you to think about this. This isn't a Bible story. This is a historical account of what happened on a day of the week. Okay? You know me. It's always a Tuesday in my book. These guys are there. They're doing the temple dedication. And while they're in the midst, and they're focused on God. They love God. But this is not the first time they've gathered to love God and focus on God. But in this moment, God's presence fills the temple in a way that it says this: the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud. Can I just tell you something really interesting? Do you know who told them to do those services? It wasn't a man. It was God. So God tells them, priests, this is your job. You're going to do your job. You're going to always do your job. You understand me? You're going to do your job. The fire on the altar must not go out. You're going to do your job. Except when my presence shows up so thick that I won't let you do your job. It's going to be so thick, you're going to be having such a corporate God encounter, nobody up off the ground. You stuck to the floor, son. You and all your bros. Everybody's on the ground, and they can't get up. They can't perform. Not they are kind of in the spirit and feeling spiritual, and so they don't go do their work. They physically are unable to accomplish their tasks. That is a corporate visitation. God does this. God shows up in a corporate people and brings them visitations. This is something God does. I want us to get a vision for the God who shows up in a way that every person is touched and stuck to the ground. And not because they were faking it. No charismatic renewal. The real deal. Holy Spirit showing up and they can't get up off the ground. God does this. God did this some in the charismatic renewal. God does these kinds of moments. This is what he's like. Divine protection. Exodus 9, 24 through 26. This is crazy. This is what God does. He does stuff like this. Exodus 9, 24. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields. Everything. Both people and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields, and it stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Wait a minute. You got the worst storm that's ever happened in the history of anything. And it's so bad that the trees, I want you to imagine a tree that has been stripped of bark and of leaf and of limb. I mean, a tree that has been stripped by hail. This is the worst hailstorm imaginable. Whatever the worst hailstorm in America's history, this is 100 times worse than that. Oh, yeah, yeah, except for where all the Israelites live, where God's people are. That area wasn't even touched. There was no hail. Huh? Yeah, God can bring supernatural protection. So I'll just tell you one of the reasons that the prayer room is praying every 2 hours, God, use Psalm 91 as a protective grace over this community. And Lord, protect us and provide for us and give us the peace of God even in the midst of a pandemic and all the unrest. The reason we're praying that is because the Bible says we can. Because God does this. Where God, even in the midst of judgments and disasters and storms, God goes, oh yeah, yeah, but not that house. Not that one. That's where my friends live. That's where my kids are. You know, not that neighborhood, not that church building, not that one. Because God is a not that one kind of guy. He can do that. I mean, we need to be thinking about this, people, because this maybe has more practical application for our lives than a lot of the miracle stories we've been telling. I mean, I can't think of too many things, especially as we head into crazier times and the signs of the times continue to uptick. We're going to need to know that God is a God who can actually protect a house, a city block, a building, a people. I mean, that's going to be really important. The enemies routed by the Lord. The enemies of God's people routed by the Lord. This one, if you guys don't know this verse, this is something that shows up multiple times in the Bible. I just want us understanding this is another thing God does. If we can pull up that verse, it's the one in 1 Samuel 15. Yeah, I don't even know. Wow, yeah, I got the wrong verse there. Whatever. You put the right verse up, I just put the wrong address on there. It says, then panic struck the whole army. This is God striking an army with panic. Armies are trained to not be struck with panic. Armies are trained to be like vigilant and militant and all in a line and do what you're supposed to do. They've got training. Except when God shows up and does one of his God things, he kind of puts his finger in the midst of the camp and starts swirling it around. Okay? It says this, then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outpost and the raiding parties. And the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. God can send a panic to your enemies. Saul's outlook saw the army melting away in all directions, and all his men assembled, and they found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved beyond Beth Aven. Guys, did you just catch this? God can show up on behalf of a corporate people. And when a corporate people have a corporate enemy, the Lord can cause panic in the corporate enemy's camp and cause them to turn on each other, cause them to just lose their mind. It says it was a panic sent by God. Did you even know God could send a panic? God can send a panic to a corporate people that are the enemies of his people. Guys, that's powerful. I mean, you want to be real careful when you pray for that one, because you don't want to be striking panic all over the place. But there is a place for God to show up on behalf of his people, and not just the nation of Israel, on behalf of his people, a group, a family, whatever. Show up on behalf of his people and actually cause this self-implosion of whatever enemy group, camp, business, you know, disaster, situation, whatever, cause it to implode on itself. See, this is what God is like. We have the Bible as a testimony of the nature of God. We have the Bible so that we can understand what he's like and what he does and how he operates. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some stories. I gave you the word. It's real. He does crazy stuff. He does unbelievable things you couldn't even imagine, like send a chaos plague, whatever the heck that is. Panic in the midst. The Lord does crazy things. I'm going to share now some stories of crazy things he's done for friends of ours, for other ministries that we know that we want to rejoice with. Even if we didn't know them, we would want to rejoice. But I happen to know them, so I know the juicy details. So it's like even more fun because we get to rejoice in the juicy details, not just the fact that something happened, but we get to know the backstory. So I want to talk a little bit about a 30-year prophecy that IHOP Kansas City had. IHOP Kansas City, we're in relationship with them. We love them. They had a prophecy back in the early 80s that they were going to be on Harry S. Truman's land. If you guys don't know who Harry S. Truman was, former president of the United States, he was from Kansas City. So he had land, which makes sense, in the Kansas City area, okay? They were told that the Lord was going to put their ministry on Harry S. Truman's land. They were told that. And for 30 years, nothing happened. Can you just imagine how hard it is to hold on to a prophetic word for 30 years? We don't want to hang on for 30 minutes. In fact, we're a little ticked if it doesn't happen in 30 seconds. I got the word of the Lord. It must be happening right now before lunch. We are always wrong. It's always a minute out, and a minute is a generous little take on that. 30 years they're waiting on this thing. 30 years. And then check this out. One day, about 30 years later, a little longer than that, actually. But about 30 years later, some people walk into their prayer room, and these people are non-believing Jews. So they don't believe in Jesus, and they don't follow Jewish practices. They're Jewish by blood, but they're not necessarily processing anything Christianity or whatever. They walk into the prayer room in Kansas City, and they see IHOP, and they look around and they see all these young people walking around smiling, and a couple of the young people come over and pray for them and prophesy over them. But these guys are like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Well, what nobody knows is these are the grandchildren or the children of the purchasers of the land of the Truman property. 50 years prior to this, their parents had purchased the 125 acres of land that used to belong to Harry S. Truman. They'd purchased it from Harry S. Truman, and they had it for 50 years. Well, 50 years, the land value is going up. It's right there on the highway. I mean, it's a really, you know, nice area. It's an area that's growing. And they've got this land, and they show up at the prayer room because they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do with this land? Because we don't want to be landowners in Kansas City, but we also know that our parents really cared about this area of the city. We want to do something that would be a way to, like, giving back to the community. So I don't want to go into all the details, but in a minute's time, IHOP became the owners of that 125 acres without putting a dollar into it of their own money. They became debt-free owners of 125 acres that is the land that they were promised 30 years before, 30 years ago, that they would be on the Truman property. So they have it right now. They still haven't developed it yet because it's going to take millions and millions of dollars to do it, but they got the property. I'm telling you that because sometimes the Lord is long in answering, but it does not mean he's not going to answer. And that's a profound miracle. You just imagine for 30 years, they're going, well, I don't know how we're going to get that. I don't even know what to do with that. We'll just see. And then one day they come to him. They come to the prayer room and they're like, listen, we saw all this. We want to do it. We know our parents would want to, you know, make this happen here for you guys. Gave it to them. All right, next. Our friends at IHOP Eastern Gate up in New Jersey. These are dear friends. Now, they weren't dear friends when this story happened. This was how they got their starting. It's their origin story. So about 10 years back, Gary DePasquale, the director of IHOP Eastern Gate, he started to feel the Holy Spirit speaking to him that he was supposed to start a house of prayer, which I can relate. I remember how that worked. His story's a little different than ours, though. I'll tell you that much. He says he feels like the Lord's speaking to him about starting a house of prayer, and he knows it's the Lord, and the Lord even gives him a time frame. It's supposed to happen now. The Lord even gives him the specific area of the city it's supposed to happen in. All these details, 1, 2, 3, 4. And right when it looks like, okay, he's going to start something, he's going to try to start in his living room or start down the street or something, right in the middle of all that, he experienced a significant persecution from a bunch of the people that he had been connected to for the previous 15, 20 years that he was thinking, that's the group I'm going to start the house of prayer with. So he goes from all excited to totally persecuted to down and out to having absolutely nothing. And it's on that day or week that he gets a phone call from a local pastor in the city, in the area that he feels like the Lord wants him in. Now, he'd met this guy before, but they weren't like buddies. And this guy calls him up and says, hey, listen, I need to meet with you. I said, okay. So he goes over, he meets with him. He says, listen, me and my wife, we're going to retire. We want to give you the whole building and the congregation. The Lord told us you're supposed to be starting a house of prayer, and we want to help you make that happen. We heard that you're doing that, and we're in full agreement. We're going to give you the building and the church. It was 18,000 square foot building. Free. So they gave him the building, but remember, gave him the church congregation. Now there's a church congregation, because remember, the people that he was with that he thought he was supposed to start the house of prayer with, they're all gone now. They're all not with him anymore. The Lord provided not only a building, but a congregation to start the house of prayer. It's one of the strongest houses of prayer in the nation right now, up in New Jersey, IHOP Eastern Gate. I love Gary DePasquale. Gary, if you ever hear this, which you never will, I love you. I Hope Indiana, their supernatural growth. This was the International House of Prayer and Evangelism in Indiana. It was in a little place called Evansville, Indiana, Nowheresville, okay? A very small town. And I make that point because what I'm about to tell you, for those of you who've been tracking with the prayer movement a little bit, what I'm about to tell you is impossible, okay? They're in a little town. It is not a high population town. There's not a lot going on there, okay? And the Holy Spirit speaks to this guy, and Craig starts this house of prayer, okay? And He's building this house of prayer, and they start getting a little bit of favor. The Lord, you know, starts, you know, helping them in their meetings and stuff. They were renting some space, and they figured out a couple of things. And they started off like many houses of prayer do, but all of a sudden, the Lord just started to speak to them, I'm going to help you grow this thing supernaturally. I'm going to help you big time. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to them, you need to do an internship. Now, where they were at and what their connections were and their relationships in the city, them doing an internship was probably going to equal 5 or 10 people, I'm just guessing, doing their internship. And they were going to do a full-time internship. They were taking this thing seriously. They were going to go for it. Their first internship, they had 40 interns sign up for the internship. And it was shocking. And we're the friends of ours and connection in the prayer movement. We're all talking, oh my goodness, I can't believe, how did they get 40? Bro, tell me the story. Just said, well, the Lord just did. And they started coming from all over the state. And they just came. And then housing popped up. And I mean, all this stuff just worked out. We had 40 interns the first time. So we're tracking going, oh my gosh, this is incredible. We said, well, what are you going to do the next semester? He said, we're going to do it again. We feel like the Lord's going to give us another big chunk. It was another 40 interns. Between the first two internships that they ran, before a year's time, they had 40 interns semester one, 40 interns semester two, but this internship was an onboarding for missionary staff. Do you know within a year they had 40 full-time missionaries? 40 full-time missionaries. The Prayer Mission Base has got 12. We've been doing this thing for 15 years. They had 40 in a year. It's unbelievable. People that raised their own support believed in the vision enough that they were going to go for it because it was a sovereign work of the Lord. The Lord just, boom, did it. He moved on their behalf. Supernatural growth in the most strong way possible. Staff. It's just crazy. In a year. So our friends in Pasadena, Cheryl Allen, she's ministered here before. I love Cheryl. She's so great. She's so fun, filled with faith. So the Pasadena International House of Prayer, that's PIHOP. They're up in the LA area, okay, in Pasadena. They, like us, have known financial difficulties all throughout. It's been tough at different times and not quite as tough at other times, but always at least a little tough. And they had done giving campaigns who knows how many times. Hey, everybody, you know, we could really use some help. We're, you know, a little bit behind on our payments, da-da-da-da. They'd been in that situation I don't know how many times, but this time the Lord did something profound. This time the Lord did the more than enough miracle. Remember the one we read about, Moses? Yeah. So this time, this was a couple of years ago, and I remember hearing the updates weekly and just my jaw on the ground as Cheryl is telling us the stories each week of what's happening. They were in a situation where they were already a month behind on their rent, and their landlord was talking to them about, hey, you know, I know you guys have been a long-term tenant. If you don't pay rent right away, I'm going to kick you, which is legal to do. I mean, that's their legal right. They hadn't paid. So they were behind on their rent, and they were only like halfway towards being able to pay rent for this next month. So they needed about, I don't know, it was maybe $7,000, maybe it was eight. But my point is they needed a chunk of money. And so they sent out a plea, and they said, listen, we need for people to come and help. They kind of gave the call, kind of similarly to what Moses gave. Listen, we're trying to build the house of prayer here. If you've got the ability to help us out, help us out. But it wasn't anything unusual. It's the same thing they've said 10 times before. But all of a sudden, money starts pouring in. Their ministry is not huge. They don't have many more people around the ministry than we do. I mean, a few more, but not a ton more, okay? Within less than a month, 500 people had given over $100,000. And it didn't come from one person giving $80,000. It came from $1,000, $1,500, $20, $50, you know, $2,000. 500 people gave in a month's time. It was shocking. The most they'd ever had, I don't know the stats on this. I'm just going to guess because I know Cheryl pretty well. I'm going to guess the most they'd ever have give before towards something, some moment, was maybe 50 to 100 people, maybe not 100. Maybe, that's probably too high. Probably more like 50 people giving to something before. They had 500 people all throw money to the point where Cheryl was like, on Instagram, she was like, okay, listen, we've gotten so much that I kind of feel like I probably shouldn't keep asking you for money. Like, it seems wrong. Like, hey, just, it's good. We got it. We got everything we need. We're good. We're good. And like, unasked for people to keep giving money because they had so much more than what they needed. That really happened. God really does that. Do you see the difference between when it's just the natural due process of us doing our part and when God gets involved? Because God can stir up the spirit of generosity in a way that no person on a microphone, no social media campaign, no need, no cause can. God can. Stirring up generosity in a people. And I watched it. I mean, it was so funny. I remember the first time she told me, it was like day four. And I said, I was kind of calling to like, hey, how you doing? Are you all right? You know, if you, I know you need $8,000. Have you gotten even two yet? And she's like, oh, Brad, it's crazy. You go, what? She's like, we've gotten over $15,000, $20,000. I go, it's only been 3 days. She said, yeah, I know. And then so-and-so called and said, they're going to give us a big gift tomorrow. I was like, okay. So it's a week or two later. And I was like, hey, did that gift come in? Oh yeah, yeah. It came in and more. Well, what do you mean more? Oh, we've got like $45,000. You have $45,000? And then it, like another week later, she's like, Brad, it's too much. It's over 100,000. We don't even know what to do anymore. I was like, what is even happening right now? It was crazy and really fun to watch. All right, IHOP Atlanta's awakening. So many of you guys are familiar with Billy Humphrey and the ministry of IHOP Atlanta. And I can remember the night that things broke out because it just so happened in God's kindness, I was there. So IHOP Atlanta goes into a 2-year season of visitation where the Lord is showing up in all their meetings in his presence, in his power. People are getting healed, getting touched, refreshed. People are repenting and giving their lives to Jesus. It was a profound season. It lasted about 2 years, but I can remember the night that it started. I was there with a bunch of other leaders. We were there for a leadership conference. And it was either a Saturday or Sunday night. I can't remember what the schedule was, but I remember it was the last night of the event. And while we were there, we're just in worship and there's a plan, you know, so-and-so is going to speak and this is going to happen. And all of a sudden, just the feeling in the room shifts. And it's clear. All of us are kind of like, man, this is the heaviness, the presence of the Lord. And we're feeling his presence and worship is like, intense. I don't mean loud. I just mean thick. Like we are feeling the presence of the Lord. And they can't even speak that night. It just breaks into like repentance and mourning and then the Holy Spirit breaking out in joy and like waves of joy in the room. And it was the most incredible thing to witness. None of us knew, however, that was night one of a 2-year long time of the Holy Spirit visiting that community in power. It was 2 years long. And none of us knew. I mean, we all get on a plane the next day and we're like, man, that was a great meeting. Little did we know. That was the beginning of something. I'll just tell you this. Sometimes you don't even know when you're at the beginning of something. Sometimes you are right at the very beginning, the cusp of what the Lord is doing with a group of people or with a church or in a situation. And if the Lord has got a long-term plan, because remember, we're his workmanship, created in Christ to do good works. There are things and objectives and purposes that the Lord has for each group of people, each congregation. It was profound. I remember going back a year later, and it was still there. It was even stronger. Being like, man, Lord, this is incredible. I remember talking with Billy, the director there of IHOP Atlanta, and hearing the stories of what was happening and how it was touching the schools and how they were having all these extra meetings and people were coming in and pastors were coming in getting refreshed and marriages were being set right. It was just a beautiful season because the Lord can come and visit a corporate people. We already read that about the Holy Spirit visiting the temple on the day of the dedication. But why is it just a temple? Or why is it just an afternoon? Why can't the Lord come and stay? Well, he does. That's a thing he does. God comes and visits a group of people and even stays for a season of time in a really profound way. I can remember a ministry getting elevated to national platform. A mutual friend of mine and this gentleman introduced us to each other, and we had a lunch together. And this was back in about 2008. And the reason that this guy wanted to meet with me was because he knew we were doing prayer meetings, and he knew that I really cared about discipleship, small groups and all that. He knew that was really our DNA, and he was like, listen, I really feel like the Lord wants us to start some sort of prayer expression. He said, I just want to pick your brain and just hear, you know, what the Lord's doing there with you guys at the prayer room and you know, everything connected to the church that you're a part of. He said, I just want to hear about it and know what you're doing. Well, over the course of the next few years, the Lord elevated that ministry. They started prayer meetings. They started really pressing in and asking the Holy Spirit to show up in their meetings and working on discipleship and creating a beautiful family. And within just a short period of time, that ministry became Upper Room, known across the nation for having the presence of God, for having, you know, the morning, noon, and night prayer expression, for being a praying church, for being an incredible gift to the body of Christ. See, the Lord had a plan for that ministry to elevate it to national platform, to have it be a part of the prayer movement, really even to start a whole new leg of the prayer movement. The morning, noon, and night expression. The local church expression that's doing morning, noon, and night in order to encourage and influence dozens and dozens of other congregations to start to do likewise, because the Lord can elevate a ministry in a moment. Remember earlier we read that verse, when the Lord honors one part of the body, the rest rejoices. We watched that happen from none to national. We watched it happen. And it went from none to national, and it was such a glorious thing. It still is, because the impact that that ministry is having, the Lord can do that. You know, I'll share one last story. And this one I recognize it doesn't really fit with the rest of them, but, you know, I wanted to tell it, so why not? Stick it in there. This ministry is, or this miracle is mostly our miracle, but because it includes another church, I thought I could sneak it in there. So, the city of Pantego, there was a season of time where the prayer room was trying to get into a space here in Pantego, and the city was standing against TPR in some really shady ways. In some ways that we actually could have sued the city on a number of occasions and probably won the lawsuit because they were really doing us wrong, okay? But each time that happened, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I knew what that meant. Don't sue the city. You're not supposed to sue the city. Don't sue the city. And trust me to take care of this. I said, yes, Lord, we'll take care of it. Or we'll trust you to take care of it. Well, not only did the Lord take care of our needs in that season, but here's what happened. And this is where another ministry gets involved. Specifically, the dialogue I'm having with the Lord is, Lord, can I sue the city for being dirty? That's the question I've got. I'm asking the Lord multiple times, and I just know in my heart that's not what we're supposed to do. Do you trust me? Was his response each time. We get to the point where we're about ready to move into that building. That building is half a mile from here. We're about ready to move into that building, and in that moment, another church here in Pantego sues the city of Pantego for the exact same nonsense that we were going to want to sue the city for. Another church sues the city at the exact same moment, and here's what happens. This church sues the city. They make such a stink, and I'm glad they did, it made national news. I can remember the morning that I opened, you know, my news or whatever. I was looking on the online news. And on the front page of the news, I didn't even have to scroll or click. Right there it says, City of Pantego sued by church for religious discrimination. And I went, no, we didn't. What are you talking about? I was like, hey, it's the front page. What is happening? And I look at it and I start reading and go, oh my gosh, they got their comeuppance. They got it. And I just felt the Holy Spirit. Do you trust me? I was like, I sure do. When you get somebody else to sue the city, we didn't have to do all the legal fees or the this is and that's. Here's what happened. As a result of the city of Pantego getting sued, they cleared house. They came in and they cleaned out all the officials. They fired everybody. They fired all the main guys. And they restarted with a whole new group of people and they're all nice. So then it's a few years later and the Lord tells us about this space. This just happened. And the first thing that happens in my spirit when I realize the zip code, as I go, oh, dear Lord, no. Not Pantego again. That almost killed me last time. If I have any grays hidden up in this red mess, it's because of Pantego, okay? I said, Lord, can we just try a different one somewhere, anywhere, not Pantego? Because I'm remembering how much of a headache it was. It took us nearly a year to get into that space. All sorts of opposition and problems. And I just felt the Lord. I didn't hear him say, do you trust me? That came later. I heard him just like, I got this. Like, just trust me. Just keep moving forward on this. Well, it's at that point in time, I start making phone calls to all the same phone numbers I made however many years ago for the prayer room. But every time I'm on the phone with somebody, it's a different somebody than before. Every time before, it was, prayer room, we don't like you guys, you're a cult. This time, it's like, oh, sure, whatever you need, anything, easy. Oh, yeah, we didn't have to be there, sure, you can just, sure. And it's like, Lord, this is a different city. I said it out loud. I couldn't believe it. I got off the phone off of one of the phone calls with one of the building inspectors or something because I can remember the phone calls with the building inspector before. And I get off the phone and I go, Lord, this is a different city. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, that's what happens when you get sued. I go, oh my gosh, it is a different city. The Lord sent panic into the enemy camp and he caused it to implode on itself. The Lord did the exact thing that he says he does and he made it easy, the easiest I've ever seen it for us to get into this church space right here. He did that for us. See, the Lord does miracles, not just individually, corporately. I want us believing this. I mean, I think it's so important that we understand that God will do big things for us corporately. For us, for other ministries, that we would look at the progress of the body of Christ. For the church to take steps forward, it's going to take more than us just doing the right things at the right times. For the church to take steps forward, the little C church congregation like ours, the big C church, the whole body of Christ, every church that loves Jesus is part of the church. For the church to take steps forward, it's going to take miracles. It's going to take the God of miracles doing miraculous works. I think it's important that not only do we know that God does those, not only do we have Bible, that we've got modern day stories where the Holy Spirit has moved powerfully on behalf of a people to show us this is what he's like, because in the days ahead, we are going to need that all the more. The church is going to need to believe the God of miracles can move on behalf of a corporate group of people. Because I'm telling you, there are times in our future where if we don't have God move, we together, where we don't have God move for us, we're going to be in big trouble. And we're going to need that history, believing that God moves on behalf of a corporate people just like he does an individual.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.